And that it does. We're live here at Atlanta United's training ground up here in beautiful swinging Marietta, up close to where we're only about 40 miles from where John. All right, let's try this again. Power has been restored. Eric Davis was running around like a crazy person, but it is the midday show. It's John Michaels. Randy McMichael is in for Rick Campbell, who apparently not feeling good last night, sent us a text at about 6:30 this morning that it was a rough night for him. We're up here hanging out today live at Atlanta United's training facility up in beautiful, swinging Marietta. Randy Mack, what's up, man? How you doing this morning?
Hey, what's going on, brother? You know, my phone rings or vibrates at before 7 o'clock, it's either Sean or my mom. So,
and you'd much rather hear from your mom.
Yeah, I was like, and my man Rick hit me and said he was sick and everything. And I was like, I got you. And then he texts back, oh, and we're at in Marietta at the Atlanta United training facility. So, yeah, it was good, though. But it's always good to be in the house with my boys. Man. You know that.
I'll be honest. Driving over here, when I first saw we're going to Marietta, I said, man, this is going to be an awful commute. It took me the exact same time as it would take me to go to Midtown. The difference is once you pass Georgia 400 on 285, it's cruise control. Yeah. You know, I cruised up here. I stopped on Windy Hill, got some Chick-fil-A, like full-service Chick-fil-A, because Colony Square right now, we just have the pop-up, and we appreciate them for doing what they do. But we're not able to get egg. We're not able to get cheese. We're not able to get hash browns. We can't get sweet tea with ice in it. None of that stuff. So I was able to stop there, get a good breakfast, and get us ready for what should be a really fun day here at Atlanta United's training facility. They are opening training camp today, literally at about 9:20 this morning, and it's freezing cold outside. There were four or five guys of Atlanta United 2 outside running around doing drills. Randy and I looked at each other and I said, Randy, you want to go out there and run routes? I said, I've got the football. And your answer to me was what?
No, I'm good, man. I'm good. I'm good on that running thing. You know, unless I'm getting chased by the police or something like that, I don't really got too much time to be running no more, man.
And here's what I'm gonna hope at 10:06. There's never a time where you're being chased by the police.
Exactly.
Like, I don't need that to happen. We got the Preacher Man up here. Preacher Man and Mark, I warn you today to have the dump button ready for the Preacher Man because he is now on a wife-enforced diet. He was sniffing my Chick-fil-A like a bloodhound as he started the morning because all he is allowed to eat is whatever the wife packs. He literally told me, he said, the wife's working from home now. I can only eat what she packs me. Preacher Man, what was put in the beautiful lunchbox of Paul Bible?
I got a snack, which I've already eaten because I'm starving, of an orange, of course. And then lunch apparently today is a yogurt and some turkey.
I give my kids more food than that.
I know, man. I'm like a bird looking for some food. But you're right. That breakfast you had this morning was smelling really good. I haven't smelled Chick-fil-A in quite some time. It's yeah, I was hungry.
Mark Owens, how you doing back at the Kia Studios?
You know, Preacher Man, if it makes you feel better, Sean just completely restocked the candy dish, and it's overflowing into the jar next to it. It's like a fat kid Christmas in there right now. So I'll tell you what, man, that's what's up.
Sports world never stops. So if you missed anything, Rick and John are here to tell you what's up.
What's up, Holmes?
Snap looks good. The hold is down. The kick is off, and it is going to be wide right. No good.
That's the Saints Radio Network. You had Will Lutz missing a field goal wide right, giving the Eagles the ball back with about 4 minutes to go. And all you're thinking, the Saints with a six-point lead. The Eagles have been the magical team time and time again. They won last week at the buzzer, basically against the Chicago Bears. Can Nick Foles pull it off again? You get aided by a penalty. You have a big play catch by Zach Ertz. And then inexplicably, with 2:01 on the clock, instead of just letting the clock run down to the two-minute warning, on first down, they try to run a play. It goes through the hand. It's a beautiful ball by Nick Foles right through the hands of Alshon Jeffrey. Marshawn Lattimore picks it off. The Saints run out the clock. They win 20-14, and they're one game, Randy, away from coming here to Atlanta for the Super Bowl. I want to throw up right now.
It's so funny, man, and not to be petty because I'm going to be, but I mean it's hilarious to think that the one team that the Falcons cannot stand, the Falcon fans, that is. And they can have an opportunity to come and win a championship on your home field. And you see all the fans, and you see different Falcon players. I think I saw Tack do that this morning, begging the Rams to win this game. I mean, it's unbelievable. But the game was so good. And you look at how New Orleans got down 14-0 and was able to come back. That fake punt on the 30-yard line, yep, right up the middle of a safe defense was a big deal. But, I mean, how many times – is Michael Thomas going to run a deep dig route and be wide the hell
wide open.
On third and long? I mean, it was just getting to the point where, man, just go double team the guy, okay? Because there was nobody else making plays for him. But, yeah, I don't – I'm I'm not sorry for Alshon because that's your damn job, catching ball. But I feel for him because I've been in a position like that where you have dropped a pass like that, and you know you end up losing the game. But I mean, you got to give the Saints credit, man. I mean, they battled back from that. And Drew Brees still doing his thing, man.
Hey, before we continue on, what's up? Let's try to give away $1,000 in our National Signing Bonus Contest.
It's time for your $1,000 code word.
And the code word this hour is donut, D-O-N-U-T, D-O-N-U-T. Please don't tell me how to spell it. That's how the code word is spelled, D-O-N-U-T, donut. I'd like a donut right about now, but text donut right now to 72881. It's your chance to win $1,000. If somebody calls you back, answer the phone, pick it up. It's going to be somebody from Entercom saying, hey, bro, you text donut, you want $1,000. But again, right now, donut, D-O-N-U-T. Text that right now to 72881. Your chance to win $1,000. Randy, you look confused by the sounder that went off.
Yeah, I mean, but it's just typical middays. Y'all make up your own sounders and everything as it goes along. But I liked it. I mean, it gives it a little more flavor. And when you spelled the word the first time, it kind of threw me off a little bit, too. I was like, hold on. That ain't right.
Right.
But it is right. But it is what it is. But yeah, winning some money. If you don't know the number, pick it up anyways. We're trying to give you some money. If it's not who we are, just hang up.
Yeah, if it's somebody calling trying to sell you tires or they're trying to sell you an insurance policy, hang up on them. If it says Entercom, go ahead and listen. Saints will take on the Rams. You mentioned that. The two best games were in the NFC this weekend. Cowboys-Rams 30-22. How about the run game over the weekend for the Los Angeles Rams? Ground and pound with Todd Gurley and with C.J. Anderson's a guy they picked up off the scrap heap with like 3 weeks to go in the regular season.
Yeah, he's a guy that ran for three straight 100-yard games. Like a guy who has been there. He's played in big games. You remember the Super Bowl? He played well for the Broncos against the Panthers. And to me, it just still seems like, you know, Todd Gurley, he's not 100%.
Right.
But still, he's effective. You saw the touchdown run. Still has the explosive ability. And they did just enough. And even though the score was where it was, I still didn't think this game was as close as the score is. And I'm just so glad Dallas didn't get the win because I can't stand Dallas Cowboy fans. But at the end of the day, the Rams were the better team. And even though, you know, you didn't see Aaron Donald, you know, getting a lot of sacks or whatever, he was so disruptive.
Yes.
And Ndamukong Suh played his best game as a Ram.
Difference is was the run game for both teams. I mentioned C.J. Anderson. The Rams run for 273 yards and three scores. Cowboys, who can run it really well, they ran it for 50. That's the difference in the game. If the Rams want to go to New Orleans and win the game, they need to follow that formula. Run the football, make it easy for Jared Goff. He didn't have a great game, but he did just enough to get the job done. What a call by Sean McVay late with the it wasn't a naked boot. It was basically a rollout where Jared Goff had the run or the pass option. He made just enough of a pump fake to give himself a chance to go down and get the first down. He also made a great fourth down call with a chance with a field goal to go up 11. He said, no, let's bury him and put him down 30-15.
That was a big-time call right there. The last play, you know, it was like you said, it was a naked bootleg or whatever. He had Brandon Cooks wide open. But give Higby credit, the tight end who came and blocked Sean Lee so he could get that first down. But, yeah, I mean – it wasn't Ram typical. You're like, oh, all over the yard. We're gonna trick them with all these different formations and motions and everything. It was just straight, John. We're going to run it right at you, and they got a hat on the hat. They were able to gash them the whole day.
I read some stuff, and we'll get into the playoffs a bunch in the 10-20 and 10-40 segment, but they said they knew the Cowboys liked to slant and do a lot of that stuff, and they were going to go right at them. And you let the slant work against them on the defensive line. AFC playoffs, there was no competition.
Nah.
Chiefs blow out the Colts 31-13. I thought Frank Reich, Randy, was super conservative early in that game, and Pat Mahomes came out and was slinging that thing everywhere.
I don't think he was conservative enough. Why not run the football? I mean, you had the advantage, and I know they were in a lot of prevent, but you saw what Marlon Mack was able to do when he got an opportunity to run the football. I think they should have ran the ball more, but you got to give Kansas City credit. Tyreek Hill's the fastest man I've ever seen with a football.
Yeah.
I mean, I never seen anybody that fast with a football in his hand. Mahomes, and they won. They scored 31-13 without him throwing a touchdown pass,
right,
which is the crazy part about it all. The defensive line showed up. We were talking about that Indy O-line all week about how they beat up Houston. Justin Houston showed up big. D4 was big. And Chris Jones in the middle of that defense. I mean, he didn't run over Quentin Nelson, but, I mean, that long arm, he batted down a couple passes. And Andy Reid, hey, what's the story? Andy Reid in the playoffs.
Right.
What is he going to do? What is he going to do? He stuck with the run game. That was the biggest thing.
The Chargers-Patriots game I watched for about 14 minutes. I was like, all right, this is over, because that was blowout city from the get-go. Los Angeles never got off the plane. 35-7 at halftime. It could have been worse. The Patriots put in cruise control. They went 41-28. Don't let the score fool you if you didn't watch the game. Never competitive were the Chargers.
This guy beat down, man. that beat down. That hurt. Because what happened was, John, they wanted to run that penny defense like they ran against Baltimore.
Right.
Well, you're not going to do that 2 weeks in a row when you got New England as opponent after right. that. You got to change it because what they did, they exploited it. My man Sonny Michel ran wild. Mm-hmm. James White had 15 catches for about 15 yards, but they were all effective for some reason. And Tom Brady just did what Tom Brady does. And you got to give New England credit, 8 straight year in being on conference finals.
That's insane to think about. 13 conference championships for that group. 13. Hey, elsewhere, a tough night for the Hawks yesterday. They lose 133-114 at Phillips Arena. Trae Young had a really nice game. John Collins had to leave with an ankle injury but did come back. That's the last thing I need to see right now is John Collins getting banged around at all. Giannis Antetokounmpo. Can you say that name, Paul? No, I didn't think so. 33 points, 6 rebounds. He's an absolute star. He just needs to get it done in the playoffs. John played 34 minutes, 13 points, 11 boards. Trae Young, 26 and 10. You think, 10 assists? No, he had 10 rebounds.
Really?
They just didn't play any defense yesterday. They could not slow down Coach Bud's crew from Milwaukee.
And we know that for some reason it's personal when Coach Bud comes back here. We all know that. We saw that in the first time he came back and how that score was. It's still a young football team that's trying to learn how to win. And I know a lot of people saying, well, we need to – I said football?
Yeah. Well, yeah, you'll hear that again.
You know what I mean. And this team is, you know, they're young, and as Hawks fans, they need them to lose.
Right.
All right, so they get this, how does Mike them say it, get to Zion or whoever. Yeah.
But get to Zion.
But, yeah, I mean, this team, hey, you see the young players. I heard he played well the other night.
Yep.
I mean, he played well. Spellman played okay last night. So these young players are getting that time, getting development.
Did you?
And hopefully they can, you know, win some more games with me because I like to see all the Hawks fans get mad.
Did you hear the honesty from Omari Spellman?
Yes.
Where they asked him about going down to the G League, and he goes, dude, I was fat, and he lost 20 pounds. We had Omari on right when they drafted him, what, a couple of months back. I like that honesty. Yeah. Like, hey, look, I'm out of shape.
They look at him like Draymond. When they drafted him, they right. looked at all the trademarks that Draymond brought to the Warriors, and that's what he does. And, hey, more power to the young man.
A couple of quick notes from the University of Georgia. They're potentially looking at Corey Raymond to be the defensive backs coach. He's the best DB coach in the country.
Go get him, please.
For people that don't know, he's LSU's defensive back coach. He is a monster recruiter. And apparently bringing back a tight end coach that you know pretty well.
Yeah, Todd, he's a real good X's and O's guy. He's a really good recruiter also. Has a tie to special teams also.
Okay.
So that's a big thing.
Todd Hartley is the guy that we're talking about there. Hey, we'll come back live here at Atlanta United's training facility. We're going to talk about the NFL playoffs. What do you want to happen moving forward? And we'll recap the weekend it was. That's coming up next. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. 92.9
The Game. Yeah, I love our team. I love the way we battle. And we'll be ready.
That's Drew Brees, and they're moving on to the NFC Championship game. They will actually host the Los Angeles Rams 3:05. They are the early game. Coming out of the gate next weekend, and then it'll be Patriots and Chiefs in what should be a really, really fun AFC championship game. We're live here at Atlanta United's training facility up in Marietta. We will carry their press conference coming up at 11 o'clock as they will introduce their new manager and Frank DeBoer. We've got Julian Gressel stopping by about 12:30, Jason Longshore at noon, Brad Guzan going to join us around 12:45 or so. Randy Mack's in for Rick, and we're having a good time, and we're going to get into the NFL playoffs, what happened over the weekend. Randy, these are weekends I love because you literally sit down and start watching football, and you don't have to move for 8 to 10 hours.
Right.
I had a little bit of butt burn on the couch because, you know, you're just sitting in the same spot for so long, and eventually you start to get that sweat going and everything else. So I had to get up and move around and actually, like, walk upstairs and get a drink and then walk back downstairs. That was kind of my whole weekend.
Dude, I ain't never in my life heard nobody say butt burn. I mean, really, butt burn. So you were sitting naked on the thing on the couch?
I mean, I had some basketball.
Anyways, we'll go past that. But, yeah, it's always fun to sit down and watch ball. And you wish your games could have been a little bit more competitive, especially yesterday. But this is what it's all about, man. And you see how important the number one and number two seed is in the NFL playoffs because it's been a long time since we had a squad go from a wild card to the Super Bowl. And it just takes advantage of it. And when you look at New England, I mean, that's the whole objective for everybody, to get them out of that home seat.
Right.
And right now they're number two seed going to Kansas City next week, and they're not very good as far as – well, they're a great team, but they're not as successful when they're two seed and they have to go through the one seed. So that's going to be the interesting thing to see how that pans out. Will Andy be tight? Will Andy, you know, will he go away from what's when they're being successful, he go away from that
right.
and try and, okay, I got this junk toy right here, Patrick Mahomes. Let's throw the ball all over the yard when all we got to do is run it.
Drew Brees talked about how they started the game yesterday. And as people that were watching, that were cheering against the Saints like me, at 14-0, I'm going, holy cow, this is as bad as they could. First play of the game, they throw an interception. Philly marches right down the field, scores, goes up 7-0. They go 3-and-out where they don't gain a yard. Philly goes right back down the field. It's 14-0. And then all of a sudden you've got them backed up, and they get another punt. And Philly's got a chance to go up 21-0, and Nick Foles underthrows Zach Ertz by what, about a yard? If he throws that ball another yard out there, it's 21-0, yep. And the Saints are done. I think they're a team that's finished. They get the interception. Philly gets the stop, and I know a lot of people are, oh, he should have taken the holding penalty. Never in the life of football does somebody take that holding penalty. If you missed it, New Orleans had run the ball and made it 4th-and-1.
Right.
There was a holding penalty that would have backed them up to 3rd-and-11. You never give Drew Brees another opportunity. They decline the penalty. Taysom Hill on a fake punt picks up about 2 yards. The Saints go down, get a touchdown, completely change the tenor of the football game.
Oh, yeah, that slowed down the momentum because Philly had all of them to start the game. And when you look at that one play, Philly wasn't the same after that one play, after that first interception by Lattimore, and they were able to to basically, turn the game around. And then that 18-play, 11-minute
right.
drive, that was the nail. Because if you look at the 18 plays, John, how many penalties did they have on that drive that they kept setting them back? And, I mean, they didn't run the ball well. Mark Ingram had that one big run. But other than that, I mean, they kind of neutralized Kamara, had a couple plays. But that fake punt, I mean, that's a Sean Payton call, though. You
right.
know what I'm saying? That's something that he does right there because, hey, he doesn't know when the next time he'll be in this situation. Drew Brees is getting up there in age, the contract situation. He went for it all right there, and you got to give him props. But I'm with you now, to people saying, well, they should have accepted the penalty. No, you don't ever accept that penalty.
No.
Even if it is Sean Payton, you always decline that because especially when you're in safe as far as on the defensive side of the ball, you're in safe, and they run the ball right up the middle where your two best players are in Jernigan and Fletcher Cox. You just don't see that.
The funny thing is, in the first quarter, I saw people with their hot takes on social media. Go ahead and trade Carson Wentz right now. It's clearly Nick Foles' team. Nick Foles has been a great story, and you take nothing from him. The Super Bowl run to go win a championship for Philadelphia. The game-winning drive a week ago in Chicago. The way they got off to a start yesterday against the New Orleans Saints. But what you saw after that, Randy, was Nick Foles turned back into Nick Foles. He's not a great quarterback. He's had some great moments in Philadelphia. Carson Wentz is the franchise. Nick Foles is a free agent. He will not be on the Eagles next year. Stop trading everybody that was trying to trade Carson Wentz in the middle of the first quarter yesterday.
I wish people would listen to me because I've been saying that, John. I would not trust Nick Foles if he's not coached by Andy Reid or somebody who's coached under Andy Reid, mainly Doug Peterson. He is who he is. Now, you got to give him all the credit in the world. This young man, the way he's played in the playoffs, you can't deny it. You can't take it away from him, whatever. I ain't giving him the money. And they have the $20 million option, I think, on
right.
it. In order for him to get out of it, he got to pay $2 million or whatever. Somebody's going to overpay for Nick Foles, and then you're going to see what Nick Foles is. He's an average quarterback. But because it's a quarterback-starved league, and we're such a prisoner of the moment, somebody's going to pay him. And then he's just going to be an average quarterback.
It's funny. Dennis Allen's defense, and I know they talked about this a ton on the broadcast. The beginning of the game, they were giving the Eagles receivers a ton of cushion,
yeah.
and Nick Foles had throwing lanes. From about mid-second quarter on, maybe even beginning second quarter, they said, all right, we can't get to you, but we're going to come up and bump your receivers and make them take some time to get into routes. The Eagles don't have any speed players. I mean, Alshon Jeffrey's a plotter.
Aguilar can fly now.
He's kind of soft.
He's soft, yeah.
So you bump him 2 or 3 times, he's like a gnat, and he just kind of jiggles out of bounds. Point being, they couldn't get off the jams, they couldn't get open, and they were making Nick Foles make precise passes.
Right.
And he couldn't make them. And then all of a sudden you get behind, and you could tell the Eagles pressed. I thought Doug Peterson pressed. Went away. Where was his screen game in the second half?
The way they limited Darren Sproles was also big. You didn't see Sproles get any big plays. The one throw that the touchdown pass to Matthews was
beautiful.
That was a beautiful pass. But outside of that, it was just meh. And, Zach Ertz didn't have a big impact. But for them not to be able to run the football, Smallwood, go get you a guy. They'll be more successful because the difference between his coaching with Foles and with Wentz is he relies on everybody with Foles.
Sure.
He puts it all on Carson Wentz,
right.
which you should. He's your franchise quarterback. But if you get him some kind of help with a run game and not have him try to carry the load every single Sunday, Carson Wentz is 100 times better than Nick Foles. He is a pure franchise guy. He's a guy you can 15 years, he's going to be there. Foles isn't that guy, but because he has this run and it seems like it's just him, no, everybody played better. You know, you get Jernigan back on the defensive line.
Right.
Michael Bennett is finally healthy, and he's doing what he does best. We got Sproley back. He's doing his thing. Aguilar, I mean, it's not just about Foles, but because he's the quarterback, John, oh, it's all about the Foles goal, the Foles magic. All right, go ahead and buy that if you want to.
Yeah, if you're a team like I'm trying to think Cincinnati or somebody that needs – if you're the Dolphins, please don't pay for Nick Foles.
Oh, damn Dolphins.
That's the worst franchise in the league right now, by the way.
But I love Chris, man. I've been knowing Chris Greer a long, long time, and he's finally got a shot to run a football team.
Right.
They got Tannenbaum out of the way, and you know, and get him out the building, okay, and let Chris do some thing. It's going to be a struggle because I think they're going to release Ryan Tannehill.
Thank goodness.
From what you're reading, they're looking towards 2020.
Right.
And so it's going to be ugly. But, you know, when we were losing down there, at least it's Miami.
Right. At least when you leave.
Yeah.
Actually, you go right across the street from the stadium
and
have a really good time.
Yeah, at least it's Miami.
That is very true. On the flip side, you're now going to get Rams and Saints. And I know as Falcon fans, we're going to spend a lot of time talking this week, breaking down the NFC playoffs and what needs to happen. This is the matchup, truthfully, that everybody wanted. They played a great game in New Orleans, 9 weeks ago? Remember, the Saints were up huge. The Rams come all the way back tied at 35, and then they couldn't get stopped. The Rams are playing better defense now, partly because you have Peters and Tlaib back.
Right.
Aaron Donald's obviously an MVP-type player, and he'll be the defensive player of the year, I think, without a doubt, when it comes to that. And they've taken a lot of the pressure off Jared Goff. Now, on the flip side, New Orleans is playing better defense than they have. Dude, that defense is, whew, they're getting after it.
But they lost Sheldon Rankins.
Yes.
And he's their best interior D lineman. And that I'm so interested to see how that works with this newfound Rams running game. And you don't have your best interior defensive lineman. My thing with Jared Goff is how uncomfortable can they make him?
Right.
Because to me, he seems like he's shaky. He's a real shaky quarterback when things aren't going right. And that could be he's just still young. Because when the Bears were getting after him, he was just slanging the thing all over. Now, it's not going to be cold or anything. But that place next weekend.
Oh. It's going to be insane.
That place, you think it was rocking last night. Wait till the Rams coming up for a chance to go to the Super Bowl. That is going to be the key to me with Jared Goff is how does he handle the elements. Because I ain't worried about Todd. I ain't worried about CJ. I ain't worried about Brandon Cut 16. He has to play well. Now, out of his world, no. But he has to play well.
Saints are undefeated in the Sean Payton, Drew Brees era at home in the playoffs. So the Rams are going to have to go in there and do something that nobody else has ever done.
And Tlaib. I mean, not Tlaib, but Marcus Peters. You know, I hope that Mark back in the Kia studio has that clip from the last game talking about gumbo and everything.
Right.
Because, I mean, you know how petty Sean Payton is now. And Sean Payton going to go after him.
Does he not have one of the most punchable faces as a coach?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he's right up there. Him and Tom Herman. Yeah, they about
to. You don't like Tom Herman either?
No, I don't like him. They're neck and neck right now. But yeah.
Does that have anything to do with the Sugar Bowl?
No, I never liked him.
Okay.
I think he's a whiny little baby. But yeah, Sean Payton is going to go after Marcus Peters. And the one thing with Mark, as much of a playmaker is, he's one of the most frustrating defensive players I've ever seen because he's out of position so many times and all that. But, I mean, you got Tlaib. I can't wait to see this Tlaib and Michael Thomas matchup. I think that they're going to let Tlaib guard him because, I mean, Marcus is going – he's going to wear Marcus out. But if you – because like he did in the last game. He wore Marcus out in that last game. But if you can get Tlaib on him and try and slow him down and double-team Kamara, they got a shot.
Yeah, and they're going to have to find ways to spy Kamara, do different things with them. I thought the Eagles did a good job. I mean, the Eagles played a lot softer in the second game.
They were real soft.
A lot of zone coverage.
Real, yeah.
But that's because they lost 48-7 when they tried to man up with the New Orleans Saints.
And they ain't got no more corners either.
Well, that is true. Some would say they never had any corners anyway.
That is true.
Hey, when we get back, we'll continue the conversation about the NFC playoffs and the AFC. What happened over there? Can the Chiefs finally take a step? And I want to ask a question, Randy. How far are the Falcons away from these four teams? We see a different trend in the NFL. We'll explain all of that next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com.
Tell Sean Payton, keep talking that shit. We going to see him soon. You feel me?
Fair enough.
Yeah, because I like what he was saying on the sidelines, too. So tell him to keep talking that shit, and I hope you see me soon. You feel me? And then we're going to have a good little, nice little bowl of gumbo together.
Marcus Peters bringing us back for break. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Mark Owens, you're a genius in the back. You found what Randy was looking for. The Saints were trolling, by the way, the Eagles afterwards.
Yes, they were.
Wearing ski masks during the press conference and all the interviews. You know what? if you want to have those hokey and you know, hey, we're going to wear dog masks or whatever, and they worked last year, they won a right. Super Bowl. Be prepared that you're going to get ridiculed when it doesn't go your way.
Just like your Hurricanes with the chain. I mean, it was the same thing when everybody was beating out. They were putting the – remember, Wisconsin wore it out, the fake chains and everything.
Clemson did it the worst. They had paper chains and snatched them.
But
leave my canes out.
Yeah, but when you get beat and you win a game, you're allowed to pretty much say anything that's not insulting to anybody's wife or anything like that. So I have no problem with it or whatever. The Saints, they have a lot of confidence. They're real cocky. They follow everything – like their coach.
Right.
He is cocky. He don't care. He going to talk his trash. And they believe in it. And that's all that really matters. I don't think anybody or any fan base like Sean Payton.
No.
But as long as those 53 guys do, that's all that really matters. And then that whole Mercedes-Benz Superdome,
right.
All those people going to believe in him.
Oh, of course.
Because, I mean, and I look at it, when you look at it, the four teams, when we talk about defense, the four best teams, the four best offenses are in the Final Four. But the majority of them ran the ball this weekend to win football games. You know what I'm saying? So I want to see how they come out, except for the Saints. I want to see what the Saints are going to do to try and keep it from being a shootout. I think the Rams want a shootout.
Right.
I think they do want a shootout in that build. I don't think the Saints want that.
No, I don't think they do either. The Saints, from where they were in Week 9 to now, they're a much more balanced football team. They like to play a lot more defense. But I wanted to bring in, you actually kind of alluded to it right there, the trend in the NFL is different. The four highest-scoring teams that you just mentioned are the teams that are left in the playoffs, and they're the teams that are going to be fighting to be here in Atlanta for the Super Bowl. Falcons finished, what, 6th in total offense, 8th in scoring somewhere, so not far off. How far are they really away from these teams? Think about it. You played a really close game against Philly at the beginning of the year. You played one close game against New Orleans, not the other one. Didn't get a chance to play the Chiefs or the Patriots this year. Are the Falcons close? Is this a scenario where you start to look at them and go, okay, truthfully, a year from now we can be there? When I look at it, and again, on paper is not what you put on film or what you do in between the lines. Bless you. When you look at the Falcons, we probably have as much, if not more, individual talent than the teams that are left. The problem is it wasn't always on the same accord, and our offensive line is nowhere close to any four of the teams that are still there.
Not at all. And are the Falcons close? Hell yeah, they're close. They're health close. You know what I'm saying? You keep everybody healthy, you're there, but the offensive line has to be better. And when you look at this Falcons team, they got away from the balance that made them special.
Right.
As special as Matt Ryan of a year that he had this year, one of his better years that he had in his career, they still missed that other element of the offense, a consistent part of a run game. And a lot of that has to do with the guys up front. And we've talked enough about Dan. You know, he's talking about he's only comfortable with the center and the left tackle. You got to get some more guys in here. And like my partner John Chuckery says, I mean, the Falcons, they out-personnel you now. When can you out-scheme somebody?
Right.
When can you do those things? And that'll be the interesting thing about, you know, with the new hires and what's going to change, because you can't keep doing the same thing. You got to change some things up. And I think that Dan saw that and went back and said, you know what, we got to do something different. And not change everything completely, John, but just different.
Think about the four teams that are left. Andy Reid has always been an offensive mastermind. Heck, he made Alex Smith into a guy that the Redskins wanted to have on their foot. And Alex was always a solid quarterback.
Yeah,
Andy made him look better than he actually was. Sean McVay is seen as a whiz kid.
Yeah.
Jared Goff was considered a bust year one under 7-9 or 5-11 Jeff Fisher, whatever the hell he was. And all of a sudden under Sean McVay, he turned into an MVP candidate. Belichick and Brady, that's a different level with Josh McDaniels, the way that they've done things. The Chargers wanted to sit back and play soft, and Tom goes, fine, dink, 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 run, run, run. You're not going to stop it until it's 35-7 and the game's over. And then Sean Payton is one of the all-timers. He's one of the all-time play callers, and he's got the perfect quarterback in his system in Drew Brees. So you've got four teams that may not have all the great individual talent that Atlanta has, but they have something that we don't, and that's right now mastermind. Something that Kyle Shanahan was. He was a mastermind.
Right, right.
Calling plays. Let's see now, can Dirk Cutter and Mike Mularkey and all these other voices on the offensive side, can they become the masterminds that we're looking for?
It's amazing when you have a great play caller how, you know, it takes off the pressure that you might not have the personnel to get things done. Now, you look at the Chiefs, they got the personnel. You look at New Orleans. They got the personnel. Well, they got the receiver. They got some good ancillary parts, but they got a stud receiver.
They got
receiver.
Two guys.
They got a stud receiver and a stud running back.
Yeah, that's where they've
been. And then you look at
the Rams.
They got an elite running back. They got good players. Brandon Cooks, a good wide receiver.
Right.
But outside that, they got okay guys. You know, they missed Cooper Kupp a lot.
He was the
security blanket for Goff. But the one thing that they all have, they have innovative, creative offensive minds. And Josh McDaniels, he is an innovative. I would never let him be the head coach of my damn football team.
Right.
But, I mean, he can be my OC any day, and he's real creative with it.
It's going to be interesting when I look at the AFC championship game. And neither one of the AFC playoff games were competitive, and that's why we're kind of just glossing over them. Patriots blow out the Chargers. I literally at halftime turned that one off. I said, I'm going to go do something. I think I went and grabbed lunch with Kane. There's no reason to sit here and watch the second half of this football game because it's never going to be competitive, and it wasn't. And the Colts-Chiefs game was never really competitive either. Chiefs kind of ran away with it, I thought they were a team that handled the elements a heck of a lot better than Indianapolis did. Indy looked like a team that was an indoor team going outside. Kansas City looked like a team that, hey, who cares if it's Pat Mahomes' first playoff start? We're going to go out there and make things happen.
Yeah, and you looked at and the guy who I was on, I mean, just – I don't want to say I was dumping on him, but, you know, whenever you're a first-round tight end and number 10 overall, I think he should be better. And he wasn't good in Detroit, and that's Eric Ebron. Came out, had a hell of a year this year.
Right.
And I was so happy for him. But he played like he was cold.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? He was like he was cold out there.
So did Andrew Luck.
Andrew, he made you believe it because Andrew was out there with no sleeves on. And my quarterback out there with no sleeves on. But, I mean, but the key to me, John, was Damian Williams, 25 carries, 129. And – Andy stuck with it. We know so many times Andy, he'll have some nice runs, and then he'll just go back to slinging all over the yard. You saw Travis Kelce had an effective game. Tyreek Hill had the one big play and so a couple other big catches. But overall, I think we have maligned the Chiefs defense all year, and they're still not. They're not that good. But when they needed plays, they're superstars, and that's what the Falcons need on their defense. What defensive superstar, when you need a sack, who's going to go get it? Because you remember they got that fumble,
right,
and they were going – and who got the sack? Justin Houston. They're a superstar outside linebacker. D Ford, I think they're going to franchise him. Chris Jones in the middle. I mean, their best players on defense made key plays when they need to be done. The Falcons don't have that yet. Outside of Grady and Deion, I'm talking about on the interior part. Only Grady can make that play. Nobody else will.
It's funny, even the Eagles in a loss had guys that did the same. Fletcher Cox, injured, could not be blocked. How many holding penalties did he get called against him because he was blowing past the Saints offensive lineman? Michael Bennett might be a pain in the rear end, and there's video of him, you know, pointing in a cameraman's face, confronting him after the game. Michael Bennett made play after play.
Yeah.
That's the difference making that you need here. That's what you need Vic Beasley and Tack McKinley to become. Love Tack McKinley, love the prospects of what he can be. Vic Beasley has shown in flashes that he can be that guy. It needs to be consistent when the light shines the brightest.
That's the biggest thing right there. Who's going to be that guy? And much as, you know, we love Tack's energy and all that, where was he the second half of the season?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? No, it's about consistency, and it's about when you get in that moment of a big moment, who's going to make that play? And if you look at all the teams that are in there, they got a defensive player that can make that play. Cameron Jordan in New Orleans. You look at my man Flowers in New England.
Yep.
They didn't sack Philippa twice, but they were hitting him all day yesterday. I mean, they were in the backfield the whole time. Who's going to be that guy? And the Falcons got to find out who's going to be that guy, John.
Does Philip Rivers now just have this stigma that's going to stick with him?
Yes.
I mean, it's basically every quarterback that's played in the AFC.
Yes.
Other than maybe Ben Roethlisberger. But, dude, they just can't get past that team.
And it would be different if Phil wasn't the way he is, fiery and whiny and all that. It would be completely different. But because of how he shows his emotions and all that thing, he gets a little bit more.
That he does. Hey, we'll take a break. When we get back, live press conference. We're here at Atlanta United's training facility as their training camp gets underway for the start of the 2019 season. Crazy. It seems like we were just at the parade. You'll hear the press conference live. Coming up next, it's Randy Mack and John Michaels, Midday Show with Rick and John on Sports Radio 92.9, The Game. And it is the Midday Show with Rick and John. Randy Mack's in for Rick. Rick's got the pukies. Apparently he had food poisoning, so we hope Killer Cam feels better tomorrow. There is nothing worse, Randy, than having food poisoning where it's coming out of both ends.
Oh, that's the worst thing in the world. And I've had it just once in my life, and it was the worst. Just, you know, you just laid up. And so we hope that my man Ricky, he's feeling better, feels better, because I got him busy tomorrow morning. So hopefully he gets out the bed and can come in and go to work. But
so it might be John and John tomorrow?
Yeah,
Chuckery might have
Chuckery
to come in.
But, hey, it is what it is, man. It is what it is. That's why I'm here for it. You text me, like I said, I got the text about 6:50. Hey, bro, I got food poison.
I like the fact that he texts you first because when he texts us, and by the way, we're at Atlanta United's training facility. Training camp gets underway today. We will carry the press conference live coming up here in maybe about 4 or 5 minutes. We'll do the code word after the press conference for those that are keeping score at home and want to have the code word. We will do that right after the press conference, probably about 11:15 or so. So the code word will be a couple of minutes late, but we will get that to you as well. But we're up here today. They'll introduce Frank DeBoer. As we mentioned, Jason Longshore going to join us at noon. Around 12:30, Julian Gressler going to stop by and chat with Randy and I. Brad Guzan, goalkeeper of your MLS champion, Atlanta United, he will join us around 12:45. So some Atlanta United coverage here in about the next 2 hours. And obviously we spent a lot of time talking about the playoffs. The finality of football really starts to sink
it
in this
sucks.
Time of the year.
Oh, my goodness.
Now, so next weekend you get Sunday and it's great. You got two games. Then you have 2 weeks which with a Pro Bowl that nobody cares about,
but,
that nobody's watching. And then for us, it's fun because we have Radio Row for a week.
Right.
And then football's over.
Yeah, man. It hurts.
And then it's speculation time for the night. And I know you love that is your favorite time.
Oh,
when
God.
You start speculating about what's going to happen in September.
Yeah. But, no, it sucks for guys like me that love football. And your wife knows you love football. And she knows when football's over. And you know that you got to do stuff now on the weekends.
That means you got to clean the house.
Yeah, there's no more.
Mow the grass.
There's no more basement for the whole day. So, but, I mean – it's been a great year, and hopefully you get a good Super Bowl here in Atlanta. I know that you don't want the Saints here, and it would just be crazy. Saints and Patriots here, it would just be just.
I will rent out my house for anybody that wants it.
It'd be crazy, but yeah, this is when you're just like, damn, it's almost over, and it goes by so fast, and you're just like, okay, now what? Now basketball. Well, is basketball interesting now? LeBron's gone out the East, so I mean. I'm going to try and get in there, and I'm excited about the Braves because of what, you know, they left, they left you wanting more after what happened with them last season. So, yeah, but one thing about football, though, is it's a year-round thing. You know, you're going to have the Combine soon, the Senior Bowl and all these things, and then all of a sudden you got so many different new things because it's going to happen this offseason. What's Antonio Brown, what's going to happen with him and Le'Veon Bell and this whole Nick Foles thing and being local. What the hell are the Falcons going to do?
Well, and then your favorite thing, we'll get to talk about Julio.
Because Julio ain't coming to OTAs, letting you know right now. He ain't coming. So start your whining right now because he ain't coming without some new money.
So who are you directing that at?
The guys are coming on after us mostly. the guys coming on after us mostly. But, no, I mean, but they're going to get something done. We all know, I think, the first priority is getting Grady.
Yep.
Getting Grady his long-term deal, and then you'll work away from that. They're not going to have a lot of money to spend in free agency one way or the other, but I don't want them to bring in somebody that said that has been in the system before. Don't do that. Don't bring in no more Fuscos.
You don't want to hear
Don't bring
system.
No more Fuscos in. But Fusco might have them start for you next year.
I think he is going to
start.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? So, but don't bring in none of those guys, please. You know, and it was crazy. Me and John Chuck, and we were talking about it yesterday, John. We went down an early free agent list.
Right.
Ain't no linemen on there.
None.
Nah.
There's a bunch of guys that are either on the wrong side of 30.
Yeah.
Or there's a bunch of guys that are young that weren't very good in their first contract, and there's a reason that they're hitting free agents.
Yeah, so we looked at that yesterday. So we're like, this is all about, you know, this is going to show you a lot about Thomas and Dan as far as you got to get some guys in here. They pick 14. There's not a lot of top flight outside of Jonah Williams, kid out of what's my Metcalf out of Ole Miss, I think that's him, their other tackle. Other than that,
there's some second-round guys.
Yeah.
There's a bunch of second-round guards. I've seen Chris Lindstrom, a name out of Boston College, pegged to the Falcons in the second round a bunch. I think he's like a 6'5", 315-pound kid.
You need something like that.
Yeah, and if you played at Boston College, you know you got some toughness to you because they like to run the football. So those are different things that you can look at during the offseason. The good thing is the way the NFL spaces out the calendar – we'll have the Super Bowl, and Radio Row is going to be a ton of fun. You don't turn the dial during Radio Row. You never know who we're going to have on. I know Preacher Man's already booking guys. We got Dan Marino was coming on in the afternoon because he's not going to be at Radio Row. I'm probably going to fanboy it.
Hold on. So you're going to get to talk to Dan?
No. He's only on Radio Row after 2 o'clock.
So
he'll be on with Mike and Carl.
Oh.
But I'm going to fanboy it. I'll probably stick around that day.
Uh-huh.
I know this is against protocol, so I can't do it. We've had people fired for getting autographs before.
No, don't do it, John.
So I won't. But I have a hat that's signed by Don Shula and Jason Taylor. How cool would that be to add Dan Marino to it?
Yeah, it'd be cool, but is it worth you and your family, because I can see you around here beating you up if you get fired for getting Dan Marino, you know, getting his autograph and you lose your job. It's going to be some smoke in the city.
So, Paul, here's what we could do. Randy doesn't claim to be a media member, although we know he is.
All right.
So you could actually get the autograph.
You
for
think?
Me.
I mean, Dan. You think Dan would sign an autograph? He would look at me like I'm crazy if I walked up to him and asked for his autograph.
Say, tell us for a friend of yours.
He would still look at me like I'm crazy. He would look at me like, for real, Randy. Yeah. That's how he look at me. And this media member thing has gone away. We have finally put
no, you're
an
a
end
media
to it. No, I'm not a media member. I'm a radio guy. Because you remember when Dan had his last conference with the website or whatever,
right.
And all the media guys got mad. I didn't get mad. I didn't care. But all the writers and everybody's up in their feelings. He should have called a prayer. Okay. That's what that means.
Yeah, but you just don't care, period.
I do,
you're
man. I told you. I'm getting better. I'm getting more.
How many bowl games did you call this year?
Two. That's okay. Not media. It's a radio
media.
Guy. It's
no,
a radio
no, no.
guy.
Radio guy here didn't get called to call any bowl games. I've been an analyst before. I've been on the sidelines before. You're a media guy.
I'm a radio guy.
Do you have credentials?
No, I do not, actually.
Have you ever had credentials?
Yeah.
Yeah, you're a media guy. I think we're getting to the bottom of that. Are you coming down for Radio Row?
No. Well, unless somebody has to be out or something, I'll be there. But other than that, I'm not going below Spaghetti Junction, man.
It's going
to
be insane.
It's going to be. I've done media. I know how crazy it is.
You've done it from the player.
Yeah, I've done it from the player side.
From the player perspective, and for guys that don't know, and I know you listen to us, and we get all these great guests, and it's a lot of fun. Paul's been on the other side when we were there, and you've got. It's literally like herding cattle because their handler's going to have a long list
yes.
of where you're going. How tired were you by the end of the day doing radio?
Because I wasn't that tired, but my whole thing was is that once you go past like you said, you have a lot you know of. All the stations you're going to be on or whatever. But once that – the hardest thing is to say no, because once you're done with your whole media obligations and you're leaving, then it's somebody else that can grab you. Hey, can you give us a few minutes here? Can you give us – so say you're supposed to be there for an hour. You end up there 2.5 hours.
Right.
Because you don't – it's hard to say no when you want to talk ball. But, I mean, it's real cool. It's a cool for a player, but – it's crazy, though. It gets crazier and crazier as the years go on.
It was different as the host city when we were the team – or not the host team, the team that was in the Super Bowl. I'm no celebrity by any means, but they saw Falcons Radio Network, you do sidelines. I got pulled onto every radio station there. So I'd do the four-hour show, and then Preacher Man would hang out with me because we were booking stuff for the next day. And I'd be the same way. It'd be 5 o'clock, and I'd still be doing interviews going, wait a second, I'm exhausted, the voice is gone, and I got to get ready for Steve Aoki. Which did you – oh, you don't listen to Steve Aoki?
Oh, him.
Boom, 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 boom.
I mean, do I listen to him or have I heard
it? Have you heard of him?
Yeah, I've heard it, but I don't listen to it, no.
You don't listen at all. Okay, so we had a great time. It was Wendy. It was Dutch. Hopefully Dutch is doing great.
I really hope he's doing well.
Preacher Man, me, and Rick Kim. Who else was there? Was one other. It was the five of us. Maybe it was just the five of us. And then we ran into some – Dutch had some friends with him, so we had a good time there. But we're going to move on now. Atlanta United having their introductory press conference. We're going to send it over. We're actually in another building from them at their training facility. We can see them. We just can't touch them. There's like glass and grass in between us. We'll head over there in just a second. Carlos Bocanegra is going to take the podium. They're going to introduce Frank DeBoer. It's turning the page, a new year for Atlanta United. Obviously, a lot of stuff that we're going to talk about is the MLS champs. They are the team that now, Randy, is the hunted. There's no more hunter. They are the hunted. And they were a team that, let's be honest, that everybody didn't really like, but we love Carlos Bocanegra, and we head over right now.
All right, thanks everyone for joining us. Couple of notes. We'll start with opening statements from Carlos and then Frank. After that, we'll go to questions. When asking a question, please let us know who it's in reference to, and please state your name and outlet as we'll be introducing Frank for the first time. So, Carlos, I'll turn it over to you.
Yeah, thank you everybody for being here this morning. Look, to touch a little bit on last year, we're very proud of what this club did for this city. It was an excellent time. It was an excellent time for the city and the club. But now it's a new year. It's a new era, and we're looking forward. And we've got a great new head coach, the leader of the club, to take us forward into this next challenge. We've got CONCACAF Champions League on our doorstep. We've got the league season, the Open Cup, Campeones Cup. So it's going to be a very, very challenging season. We also have a target on our back from being champions last year, so it's going to be even more difficult. But some of the things we looked for in our next head coach, Frank DeBoer, were what's his mentality like, what's his culture like, what's his philosophy like, how does his style of play fit into what we like to do here, you know, what's his attention to detail like, and all those things across the board, you know, made it be Frank was our guy. And we're very much looking forward to him leading this club and very much looking forward to welcoming him to Atlanta. He's had a fantastic playing career in Europe, namely with Ajax, Barcelona, a few other clubs. Coached at Ajax, Inter, Crystal Palace, big clubs across Europe with the Dutch national team. 112 caps, yes. Two more than me for the Dutch national team. A few more goals than me as well, yeah. But no, we're very excited for Frank to be here. Fantastic guy, and just want to introduce him today. So welcome, Frank, and let you take the lead.
Yeah, thank you very much. First of all, welcome, everybody. And still, I hear a lot of times it's still Ken here, so Happy New Year also for everybody. Yeah, I'm very excited to be here. It's a fantastic club, what I saw already from what I saw today, and also, of course, the information that I got on the internet, but especially with the people that I talked to. When they came to me, I was very enthusiastic in the beginning already because I followed the MLS already a little bit longer, and, you know, when a club comes like Atlanta United, you have to be interested, and I was directly interested. And especially the philosophy of the club, the structure of the club, the core values, what for me is a very important issue. Everything, was really fitted to me personally. And of course, the ambition that they have, they just started 2 years ago in MLS, and what they already achieved right now, it's incredible. So they have to do something good here. So, and that's from the start, I had that feeling that I can focus on the one thing that I'm very good at, and that's, the football side. Of course, managing side is also very important as a manager, as a first coach, but still, the number one thing is what you see on the field, and that I want to show to everybody. And again, I'm very excited to start. I'm very proud to be here to continue this dream that the owner, Arthur Blank has. And so for me, I want to continue that, and hopefully we're going to have some great years ahead of us. And of course, what Carlos already said, it's a different year this year. Everybody expect a lot of Atlanta United. That's normal when you're champions. But also the CONCACAF Champions League, we have to play, and all other. So it's going to be a whole different year, not only for the club itself, but especially for the players. And we have to prepare them as good as possible, and that's why I'm here for. And we have a fantastic staff around us, not only the technical staff, but all people around what I saw right now already. So I have a lot of confidence that we're going to hopefully have a great year, season. So thank you very much to Arthur and the club to giving me this opportunity.
Just a couple things to follow up on. Finalizing Frank's technical staff, Bob DeClercq and Orlando Trustful will be brought in as two assistant coaches. There will be a press release going out a little bit after this press conference, I believe, to inform you guys of that update, and we will have probably one or two more updates by the end of the week to round out the staff.
Thanks. We'll open it up for questions now. Felipe.
Hello, welcome. Felipe Cardenas with The Athletic. This question is for the manager, Frank DeBoer. To Carlos's point, and to your point as well, lots of games to be played, different year, lots of tournaments. You've evaluated the current roster, and you've been in this position before where you've won successive championships. So how do you look at a dominant MLS team like Atlanta United, and how do you make them better? And then do you feel like you have the depth in the squad to confront all, like, the four championships? Will you be prioritizing the Champions League?
First of all, I think we have the depth in the squad. I think that they already showed that last season that, they played a lot of times with different players also. So that point I think we have covered. On the other side, we're going to play a lot more games, and it's a big task for the technical staff, but also especially for the medical staff to prepare those players as well as possible that they can play those every 3-4 days a game, on the highest level. And of course, we have to prepare them mentally for that. And it's also a responsibility for the players themselves to prepare themselves well. So this period, the preseason, is very important for us, you know, that they understand, hey, this is so important to the rest of the season. So if you're not ready for in preseason, it's hard to catch up because you don't have really time to really train and get stronger, because every 3 days you have a game. So so this period of 5 weeks for the CONCACAF Champions League game is very important for all of us. So we are really focused on that right now.
Hello, Frank. Welcome to Atlanta. I'm Alex Rossetti with the Soccer Examiner. Your last two appointments at Eaton and Crystal Palace, you inherited a situation that was less than ideal with both clubs.
Yeah.
Can you explain your mindset and how you're coming into a championship-winning club?
No, of course, what I already said, you know, the structure and every organization is so good here. So I can really focus on one thing, and that's the football side, and not to worry about other things. And, of course, you know, when you're going to Crystal Palace or Inter, they were in tough periods, right, bad weather at that moment. So you want to get as soon as possible in the positive vibe. Now, here already, you know, the positive vibe is here, and we want to use that, of course, with all the people that we have here, especially the players, that they continue to have that feeling, because confidence and positive vibe improve your performance. So, yeah, we're going to use it. But still, we have to realize what I already said. It's going to be a different year, and everybody is looking towards us. We are the champions, and maybe we have to dominate even more the games. They think, okay, you're the champion, so you're going to make the game happen. And that's maybe a different approach, and we have to learn and during the season, but also already prepare them for that.
Joe, second row in the center.
Hi, Joe Patrick, MLSsoccer.com. You come from some of the richest footballing soil that exists in the world, so I'm just kind of wondering what players you've played with or coaches that you've managed with have kind of influenced you as a manager in your career.
No, as a manager, it's especially, of course, Louis van Gaal, because he was already my trainer when I was in the second team or in the under-19s in the academy. And then, of course, he went to be the head coach of Ajax Amsterdam, and I was 7 years involved with him. And then, of course, I followed him to Barcelona. So he's a very big influential in me, how I think, because he's also the type of person what you expect on the training field, but also on the game itself. And so, but also other coaches like Guus Hiddink, who is, you know, really more the managing type of coach, and Louis van Gaal is more, you know, the guy on the training pitch. But Frank Rijkaard, you know, he had a small period. It was at the Dutch team. I learned a lot of him for a coach. As a football player, for me, you know, like Danny Blind, he was one, and Frank Rijkaard when we played and when we won the Champions League, of course, in '95. Pep Guardiola, you know, was the same age, but he was already the captain of Barcelona when I came. So those players, you know, we had a very good understanding, and also thinking a little bit the same how we think how the game should play.
That's the introductory press conference for Frank de Boer. Carlos Bocanegra got things started, but we're going to give away $1,000 right now as we're here at the Atlanta United training facility with our 11 o'clock code word.
Now it's time to reveal our national signing bonus code word. The code word is
old. O-L-D. Old is your code word. You text old right now to 72881. When you get a bunch of gray hairs like at least two members of this show, you suddenly are old.
Old as hell.
Yeah. Well, you don't have to put the as hell part. Just text old to 72881. It's your chance to win $1,000. We'll come back. We're going to do the college football cheat sheet coming up next. How do you guys feel about this transfer portal? I want to know what the portal is. I want to know what it sounds like when you walk into the portal. Talk about that next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and 92.9thegame.com. And it is time for the college football cheat sheet here on Sports Radio 92.9. The game brought to you by R.S. Andrews. Keep cool. Get a R.S. Andrews Precision AC tune-up. Another way they make you smile at rsandrews.com. College football cheat sheet now. Randy, a couple of things with the University of Georgia that we were talking about. Some changes into the staff, and they continue to run that right now. But Corey Raymond is a name that has been brought up for the University of Georgia that – if they can go get him, that's a guy that I think helps out right now immediately, not just in the defensive back, because he is the best defensive back coach in college football,
right.
But he is a recruiting ace.
He can get it done on both sides. And if you look at anything at this Georgia defense that you're worried, is that DB, is that cornerback situation, done a good job recruiting. Went down there in South Florida, got a kid out of South Florida down there. And if you can find a guy that can – you know, mold these young men, because we know how good the LSU cornerbacks have been, and he's been a big – I mean, outside, they're really talented. He's been a big part of mentoring these guys and working on the technique. And like you said, he can recruit with anybody. If you can get that young man on your staff, go do it and give him what he wants.
Right. And he's going to be a guy that wants, for a position coach, over $1 million.
Get to him.
But again,
is it your
money?
No.
Is it my money?
No.
Then I don't care. Pay him.
Yeah.
Pay this man his money.
And you save money, you know, not having to pay Chaney, but they got to get some money to Pittman because, you know, Pitt, he deserves a raise also.
Sure.
But, yeah, if you can get a guy like Coach Raymond, you go out.
Think about it. You've got a bunch of young, really good defensive backs.
Yes.
Tyson Campbell is a star in the making.
He's going to be a good player.
He just needs a little bit of molding. He had moments this year where you could tell he was a five-star player. And then they had moments where you could tell he was a freshman that was playing in the SEC for the first time. And I think Corey Raymond, his track record at LSU, seemingly every year they have three stud defensive backs. And they had it again this year with Greedy Williams, with Christian Fulton and Grant Delpit. Three of the best defensive backs in all of college football.
All of college football. And if Temple does not grab Greedy at five after they passed on Derwin James, fire everybody. Fire everybody.
Well, they just hired everybody. You can't fire everybody.
Fire everybody in the front office. Goodness, girl. How does he keep his job?
Yeah, I have no idea.
I mean, that's just unbelievable. But,
well, and you already know what's going on down there with Brent Grimes.
Yeah.
he probably will not be back.
He ain't no problem in it.
He's done.
He ain't going to be there.
Now, does he go to Jacksonville next? Does he just move all three of the Florida states?
We'll see. Either way.
Now, the other one, Todd Hartley, he had left to go with Mark Richt down to Miami, and now he's back at Georgia, tight end coach / special team coach. Another guy that's a recruiting ace. You knew when he was let go by Manny Diaz that it was a very likely fit that he would come back and be under Kirby Smart. This is a guy that, again, Georgia fans, you should be excited for. Randy, you'd be real excited if they actually used the tight end.
Throw the ball to tight end, please. But, no, Todd, he is a very good coach, man, and he has that special teams element also. He was a special teams coach down there in Miami, so he brings that part of it also. And he's good at developing young tight ends, very good in X's and O's, so hopefully, you know, with Coley coming in, you'll find a way to incorporate it. But now, with Nada leaving and Ford leaving, you got to go out there and get some other guys now. And I think we had Jeff on yesterday on me and John Checker show, and they were talking about they're going back out recruiting.
Yeah.
For tight ends, you know. And there's a couple guys, kid up in Maryland, I think he was talking about that they're going to see him because they're not. You know, the tight end room is maybe six bodies at most. Now you're down to four, so you got to find to get some bodies in there.
Who would be the starter right now?
Probably Warner.
Is it Charlie Warner?
Yeah, probably.
Okay. So not the same talent or same skill level that was there if Isaac Nada and Luke Ford, who was a five-star tight end, would have stuck around. I want to ask you this, Randy, and you're a former player, and it was way different in your day and age. But today, the transfer portal has become a new recruiting tool for a lot of people. Jalen Hurts this weekend, he goes to Maryland, he goes to Oklahoma, he goes to Miami, had the big blowout yesterday down there. But this is a way for a lot of, I don't want to say malcontent, it could either be grad transfers, guys not getting playing time, it could be for whatever reason, you're not a culture fit or you're not a personality fit for a program. But now the NCAA, back in October, they came up with a rule where these kids can transfer. And we seemingly seem every 5 minutes on social media, such and such has entered the transfer portal. Do you like this sort of free agency in college football?
I don't like it, but I'm always going to be for the players. I will always be for the players and letting them get what they want. My only thing is how many times are you going to be in this portal? Because if you go somewhere and it doesn't work out for you, you're going to leave again. And I think that could be a problem, especially when you get to the point where you allow these kids to start playing right away.
Right.
And then they can just play, oh, I don't like it here, I'm going somewhere else. And then that gets to a part where you're going to have uncles, talking to other people. Hey, I see your nephew. He's not playing a lot up there. Tell him to come over. You know what I'm saying? That can be a problem. But as far as letting these kids, you know, control their own destinies, I'm all for it because when you look at the coaches and allowing them to be able to do what they do, and then right. you don't pay these young boys either. But it can be a problem, John, because it's going to take away competition. And it's going to take more or less, I want it handed to me. And I don't want to work for it.
I have zero problem with kids transferring. I have zero problems with the grad transfers being able to play right away. That and they've alleviated that. We can tell you, you can't go to school A, B, and C.
Right.
You're now allowed to go to wherever the heck you want if they're going to take you. I have no issue with that. I do have an issue with the kids that are going to start putting in for these waivers that aren't real. Justin Fields, different situation. He dealt with racial tension and whatnot.
Right.
You want to leave and they want to give you a waiver, fine. Shea Patterson, you're going from a school that was on probation and all of this stuff, and you want to go somewhere else and they want to give you that waiver, fine. I don't want to hear guys going in there, oh, such and such treated me bad.
Right.
Or, you know, I was promised this and I buck up and play football.
But that's going to happen, though. You know that. That's what I'm saying. That would be the part right there when you have guys manufacturing reasons other than I just want to leave. You know what I'm saying? If you just want to leave, go ahead. But don't try and make up an excuse to leave and then get to play. And that's my thing is how many times are you going to allow these kids? Because a lot of times the grass ain't always green on the other side. And once you get in that situation and it's not what you thought, okay, I'll go back in the portal. You know what I'm saying? I think that's just going to be the problem.
You know, I look at a guy like Tate Martell. Tate Martell was a guy that was selling all these Wolf tickets, just running his mouth.
Yes, sir.
Come on, Justin Fields. Don't do it a second time to yourself. Come here and play some college football.
And then
immediately you put your name in the transfer portal. If I'm a team looking to take Tate Martell, and he's a kid that does have to sit out a year, so
yes.
he'll have to come in and redshirt and learn your system. But I look at him and go, is that the guy that I really want leading my football team? This is a kid that committed to two or three different schools.
Yes, it seemed like he was decommitted and committed to two different schools. And we were talking, he was in Morgantown, I think,
right.
a couple of days ago. He's a guy, and I don't want to ever dump on a kid for making a decision. My only thing with him is if you're going to talk cash money stuff,
right.
then back sit there up. And back it up. And that was my biggest issue with it because it's like everybody's like, well, the writing was on the wall because they saw Justin Fields. He was sitting with Urban Meyer at the game. So? But you just sat there and said, you know, that when you were with the ones, when Coach Meyer let you run the ones, you were doing your thing. And it takes more than 1 year or one or more offseason to learn this offense. This is what you said now. And then now you're going to run? It's soft.
The only thing I'll say with that, it sounds like, and I would not be shocked, if Ohio State told Justin Fields, you're our starter when you get here, period.
Yeah.
Because he wasn't going if he wasn't
He was not going, too. No. And that's not just take away something from Justin's competitiveness.
Sure.
I'm like, why am I going to come to Ohio State if I'm in the same situation as I am in here at Georgia? I might as well stay here. So that's how I'm pretty sure they let him know that he probably would be the starter.
We will read between the lines next with Mark Owens back in the Kia studios. Mark, what do you have lined up for us today?
So we're going to talk about getting into Alex Anthopoulos' wallet and how we would spend his money. Plus, another example of why we shouldn't lower the voting age. Another sad teen getting in trouble for being a dumb teen. That's all coming up next. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
And we'll do that as we're live here at Atlanta United Training Facility. Training camp opening for your MLS champions, Atlanta United. You just heard Frank DeBoer being introduced as the new head coach here. We've actually seen some guys out here running around doing some training activities, although it is ice cold outside. Something that Randy and I won't be doing. Jason Longshore coming up at noon. We will have Julian Gressel coming up around 12:30. Brad Guzan will come up around 12:45. They're all going to join us live here as we're in the back of C. Mike Conti and Jason Longshore heading over here right now. But right now, we read between the lines with Mark Owens, who always has great sound from the NFL and other places.
Yeah, so let's kick it off with the NFL. I mean, Patriots beat the Chargers 41-28 yesterday. And has anyone throughout the season, despite a couple of hiccups, and this hurts to say, but the reality is, gentlemen, have you heard anybody say that the Patriots suck in 2018?
No. Nobody's
heard that. Well, apparently Tom Brady has, and he's not happy about it.
A good game. They're a good team. And we played them earlier this year. You know, I know, you know, everyone thinks we suck and, you know, can't win any games. So we'll see. It'll be fun.
Yeah, he was talking about getting ready for the Chiefs, but everybody saying who said that?
Now, people have said openly that the Patriots are not as good as they were before.
Because they're not.
They're not. They looked like it, though, the other day with what they did to the L.A. Chargers. They were able to run through them. This is Tom Brady playing the disrespect card.
Exactly.
This is Tom Brady trying to give themselves a little bit of an edge. they don't lose in home playoff games. It's just not what's going to happen. I was foolish to choose the Chargers to win that football game.
Yeah, I mean, I chose my heart, not my head, and because I thought this was probably the best team that ever surrounded Phillip since he's been in San Diego, other than the team that was 14-2 and lost.
Right.
But this
is that a Marty Schottenheimer joint?
And this is, but the thing with the Patriots there, nobody can be a chameleon like them. They can change from one week to another. Why Sony probably have two carries in the game against Kansas City? Because you just don't know. Nobody's disrespecting them. But that is like one of the most overused terms in the world. Because what happens if you lost? Then, oh, yeah. I mean, you know what I'm saying? But that's how Tom Brady, he gets himself motivated. And if that's what they need for in order for them to win the Super Bowl, hell, just put we suck. People think it suck when you walk into the building.
Right.
I mean, come on, man.
Boy, let's be real. The announced team was Tom Brady throw a 2-yard out. He's the greatest quarterback of throwing a 2-yard out ever. He'd scramble for a yard. Look at Tom Brady using it. It's like, come on, we get it. Tom Brady's the greatest quarterback that's ever played. You don't have to the entire game.
You know, he gets all the credit when they win, and
if they lose,
it's never his fault.
It's never his fault.
It's everybody else. They didn't block good enough for him or something like that. It's always, but hey. Tom is the greatest of all time. There's no question. And I'm not one of those people that are going to count him out now. Did he look as good? No, he did not. He did not play well this year, but he played a hell of a game yesterday.
Mark?
If you're kind of getting a little baseball withdrawal, or maybe you're kind of getting excited because spring training, pitchers and catchers report in less than a month from now. Well, Chop Fest is going on this weekend over at SunTrust Park. Free event for the fans. Come on out and hang out 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. A lot of the players are going to be there. Activities, your chance to walk around. Maybe go ahead and pick up some tickets for this season. All the information at Braves.com, and they do have autograph sessions. And some people have been coming to me saying, you know, how do I get the autographs? All the players are going to be there, and they are charging. You have to buy a ticket to get some of the autographs, but it does go to the Atlanta Braves Foundation. Again, all that information at Braves.com. But we'll see you this weekend. Chop Fest starting at 10 a.m. It's SunTrust Park. And Braves MVP and all-around good guy Terry Pendleton was on with the morning show. You can hear the interview at 92.9thegame.com. And speaking of money, they asked him, all right, if you had Alex Anthopoulos' checkbook, where would you spend your money to make the Braves better? Or his money, should I say?
Personally, I have to look at that bullpen. I have, because I have good young starters, I have to make sure defensively we are sound defensively, because you don't want to give up extra outs out there. So I have to make sure we're sound defensively. And then I'm going to use my good young starters, and I'm going to try to shore up the bullpen. So if my good young starter only gets me 5 or 6 innings every outing, I can hand the ball over to a 6th or 7th inning guy, 8th inning guy, to get me to the closer, whoever that might be out there in that pen. So for me, I'm going to shore up that bullpen more, because I know I got good young starters. I just need to get the ball to that number, to that 9th inning guy.
Mm.
And it looks like, you know, Vizcaino after arbitration, that's going to be your closer. And then how do you bridge that gap? Young power arms are really what a lot of teams have done in baseball. You find 2 or 3 of those. The Braves have about 9 of them in minor leagues.
Where are they at? Where
minors.
Are they at?
They're in the minors.
Okay.
They're in Gwinnett. They're hanging out over on our side of town.
Don't want to hear it. Don't want to hear it.
Well, that could be a way that you bridge the gap, but you got to find the guy that's going to get there. Me personally, I've always said I would have gone and got another starting pitcher. Dallas Keuchel would have been the number one guy on my wish list. A top of the line, I know he's number one. I know out there he's going to go out there and give me 6 or 7 innings every single week, every single start, and he's going to keep you in a lot of baseball games.
I'm with you on that, and my man, I'm going to throw my man Chuckery out there, you know, with one in Kimbrel to be the closer, and you can have this guy as your setup guy. I'm tired of hearing about prospect. I'm tired about hearing about the farm. I don't want to hear it no more. All right. You told us this. This was the year you said you can go spend money. Now, the rumors are out there that the Phillies are going to take Bryce.
Yep.
Manny has an 8-year deal on the table from the White Sox. I get all that. All right. But when you look at this team needs a frontline starter.
Right.
They need a guy, like you said, a Keuchel. Because when you look at the young arms, we saw with Newcomb, he has the build to be a front, big, strong lefty. You will love him to be your frontline starter. But I don't know if he's ready for that. Tukey, my guy, he's going to be up. But you got to – I'm tired of the development part of the pitching part. You know, I'm tired of you. When I got Donaldson, now it's too many ifs with him. If he gets back to his form and all this, go get some money. Go get make him say no.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I want to see on the ticker of the ESPN, Braves in the hunt. Mm-hmm. Turns down Braves. That's what I want to see.
And you still need a right fielder. You still need some other positions to be filled as well.
They put Camargo out there?
Maybe.
You put Camargo out there because I know we know Mark Kakis was a feel-good story and all that. Do you want to pay him a lot?
No, they're not going to pay him.
I mean, they're not going to pay him $14 million, but I'm just saying, or you got a young guy where you I like Camargo at third, but you bring Donaldson, and do you put Camargo out there?
Could be.
I mean, he is a utility player. Yep. He can do it all, so we'll see.
Mark Owens.
First, there was the Tide Pod Challenge, right? Remember that?
Oh,
kids trying to eat Tide Pod. Then the Salt and Ice Challenge that went viral. Did you hear about that
one? What was that?
Where you pour
what was that?
You put salt on your skin and then put ice on it, too, and apparently the reaction causes frostbite and zero-degree temperatures.
Why?
I don't know. Why would you eat a Tide Pod? Don't forget the kids were, and I say kids, as this old man's talking. Remember the challenge where they would snort a condom and then pull it out of their mouth?
Yes, I remember that one.
That was viral.
Pretty stupid.
Yeah, well, now we got a new viral challenge that's making its way around the interwebs, the Bird Box Challenge. You've seen the movie on Netflix. Blindfold yourself and try to get around your house. Well, now the teenagers, these youngins, they say, they're now blindfolding themselves, and they're trying to drive around their towns. Here's a news clip from the Fox affiliate in Utah where this happened.
Proceeded to pull her beanie down over her eyes as she was driving down the road.
Can't imagine somebody purposefully doing something that makes them not see while driving.
And the stakes are so high anyway, but to try and do it in that condition, not being able to see anything, is just extremely dangerous.
This is one thing we never thought we'd have to say. Don't drive blindfolded.
So basically, this teenager in Utah, she pulled her hat down around her eyes to say, I'm going to do the Bird Box Challenge, and then proceeded to hit another car, a light pole, and then a wall.
Did she think something else was going to happen? Was she suddenly going to turn into Jeff Gordon and win the Daytona 500? I mean, you're blindfolding yourself in a car. This, remember when people used to try to ghost ride the whip? That was something that they did on the West Coast where they'd jump out and they'd be dancing next to their cars. It was. What do you think is going to happen when a moving automobile is there and you're not controlling it, or you can't see when you're controlling it?
I mean, John, I did some crazy stuff as a child. I never admit I did some wild stuff.
Sure.
But I don't think I ever went out purposely to try to hurt myself. You know what I'm saying? Just – y'all are some damn idiots. I'm just going to say it. They idiots. All right? And I told my kids, when that Tide Pod, whatever, and I said, if I ever got to go to the emergency room because of that, I'm going to kill you in the hospital for being stupid.
Maybe the kids just need some, Mark.
I think a lot of people watch that scene in Talladega Nights. Remember where they blindfold Ricky Bobby and he's got the Panther in the back seat and he guns it into the lady's house?
Yes.
What do you think's going to happen?
Maybe they just need some goodness, and that's why they need rightfromtheheart.org. Right from the heart and rightfromtheheart.org brings you read between the lines. And kids, maybe go check it out. Maybe go get a little happiness in your life. Maybe that's what you're missing.
Yeah. I like my kids to do the floss dance or whatever that stupid dance is where they got one leg and one arm going at the same. Do those. Those are funny challenges. Blindfolding yourself in a car, you're asking to die.
Morons. I mean, that's all I can think.
Eating a Tide Pod that is not going to clean your shirt from the inside out. It's going to clean your insides out, and you're going to be in the hospital with needles stuck in your veins. It's not anything that you want. Take a break. We come back. Jason Longshore, if we can pull him out of the cold, he's got a meeting going on or something. We'll talk to Jason Longshore coming up next.
Morons.
Sports Radio. We'll ask him if he wants to bird box call one of the Atlanta United games this year on 92.9 The Game and 92.9.